It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, technical editor Kira Pace and educator Lori Fisher. And now here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning. It is a lovely morning out there. And of course, I've been enjoying the Olympics for the last 6-7 days? I'm sure everybody has been. But if you can take a break from that, we would appreciate it because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. So we do hope you will call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we do have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be covering just about every subject under the earth, with the exception of rock and sports. Otherwise, everything else is open. Again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You can also email us if you prefer to do that. That is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. We prefer you call, but of course, if you want to email, you can email. And if in the live stream you are looking for, that is at kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. Thanks to Joanne. And that will be also at kalw.org. And many other places as well. So let's start with KALW. That would be great. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Another Kira Pace cryptic introduction. Kira Pace, who was also Gen X, showed up to Minds Over Matter with no special equipment or ear protectors and is hoping for the best.
All right. So we have not been enjoying the shooting portion of the Olympics, I guess.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. The sharpshooter from Turkey.
He's the one who doesn't have earplugs.
He's meme-worthy. But yeah, fantastic job on his end. Broadcasting directly from Ashland, Oregon, Lori Fisher is excited that this afternoon he'll be watching the play mentioned brilliantly by Cole Porter in Kiss Me, Kate. If she says your behavior is heinous, kick her right in the Coriolanus.
With apologies, but most important, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, still feels he has a chance for the bronze, thanks to Copper Tone.
Thank you. Thank you for stretching that last word out. Yes, Copper Tone. All right. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
Okay. Sorry, putting away the introductions first. All right. As of the end of the 2022 Winter Olympics, there were 60 nations that have never won an Olympic medal. What are the three most populous? The three most populous nations never to have won an Olympic medal.
This comes up every year. And of course, I have no memory of any of the answers.
I had no memory of this question coming up, so it must have been a show I wasn't on. Sorry about that. Nevertheless,
could you repeat the question?
Sure. The three most populous countries that have never won an Olympic medal as of the end of the 2022 Winter Olympics, although it was still current as of about 2 o'clock this morning.
Lori?
So one was, and I'm hoping you can hear me okay. My internet connection might be bad. I think one is Bangladesh.
Bangladesh is number one. It is the eighth most populous country in the world, and it is the first country on this list. Nice job.
Yeah, we might have had that before. I'm not sure. But all right. Go ahead, Dana.
Once upon a time, it was Malaysia or Indonesia, but I don't think that's true anymore.
Oh, no, no.
And I do remember Bangladesh. Was Mongolia on the list?
No, Mongolia is known for their, I believe they do pretty well with wrestling, the wrestling categories.
All right, we'll think about it.
How about Pakistan?
No.
No, they won.
They've won.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, leave it out. If you repeat that question, please.
Sure. As of the end of the 2022 Winter Olympics, there were 60 nations that have never won an Olympic medal. Of these, which are the three most populous? And we have Bangladesh being one of the three, looking for the other two.
All right. And Lori, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, here I am in Ashland, Oregon, so I have a couple of appropriate, I hope, Shakespeare questions for you. Shakespeare has 23 title characters of his plays, you know, famous ones like Hamlet, say. I want to know which, how many do I have? Seven have the fewest lines. So these are title characters who have the least to say based on numbers of lines in the play for which the play is named. That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. And I give you two each, more or less.
All right, Kieran.
Is Julius Caesar one of them? Like, does he get killed early enough?
Perfect. He's by far the fewest lines in this list. He only has 151 lines.
Also, spoiler.
Yeah. And he's gone.
Yeah. Spoiler for anyone who has not seen Julius Caesar. I apologize for bringing up that he dies in the middle of the play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good warning. All right, so we need six more or less.
All right, go over the question once more.
So the question is, of the 23 title characters, of the title characters of Shakespeare plays, I want to know which ones have the fewest lines, and Kira got the number one fewest, Julius Caesar. Yes, he does die pretty early, I believe in Act One, maybe even, with only 151 lines. I want to know the other five. And they're all title characters. That's how you know they're famous. Couple of
do they have to be named characters? For instance, if I said the two noble kinsmen, would that count? Something
they
like
not
that?
Count the two gentlemen of Verona. They're out. So they're only it's their names, like Julius Caesar,
okay,
or Hamlet. Uh-huh. But he has the most lines, so that's why I mentioned him in passing.
How about Timon of Athens?
No, Timon doesn't make the list. He has pretty many. It's a great guess. This is a little obscure.
Let's see. Are any of the royal plays in there?
Yes.
So how about Edward II?
There's no Edward II as the name play, right? There's no play, Shakespeare play, so not, he's a character, but he's not the title character.
He's the one I'm looking for, then. The one that is in prison and gets a hot poker up the
up the Coriolanus.
Yeah, right. Huh. Okay.
I'll keep it out there. So we're looking for the title characters who have the fewest lines. And here I got Julius Caesar. I'm looking for the other. I have six more that would be get. I would say two or three of them are super famous, from super famous plays, and the other ones are for the people who know their Shakespeare, who have brushed up.
Are any of them female characters?
Yes.
Two of them are female characters. All right. All right. Let me think about that.
Good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I'm in so early. Not enough questions for me to think about. I'm going through the Shakespeare plays. Hey, I guess I have to ask a question of you. Do you know what happened 2 days ago?
I drove up to Ashland. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
What's that?
A little more specific, please.
What was the name of the day that occurred 2 days ago?
Thursday?
Yeah.
No?
That's my interpretation.
August 1st.
Mm.
Okay. Well, that's the day, if we're going to be technical about it.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
in the pagan calendar. The pagan calendar.
Right.
I'm still
midpoint
not getting the question.
Between the solstice and the vernal, or the autumnal equinox.
Hmm.
Also okay. Called Lomas.
All right.
I'm surprised you don't know that. It's first harvest. It's on August 1st.
Hmm.
I thought you knew these things.
We used to.
A sad okay. Void in our time.
It's called Lunessa. Now does it sound familiar? It's in the same level as May Day and Groundhog Day, all called Imbolc, and Halloween, which actually goes over the it goes from the end of October to the first day of November. This is the first day of August, the in between holidays, and this one's called, what did I say? It's called Lunessa.
Lunessa. Well, if someone had given me candy on August 1st for free, then perhaps I would have known.
Unless Russell Stover makes candy for that particular holiday, I'm really not familiar with it.
Okay, so any other questions for me? I mean, what do you have out there so far?
And, we have the Olympics and we have Shakespeare. That's what we have.
Oh, right. The Shakespeare. Right. Olympic. Oh, your Olympic question is what again?
The three most populous nations.
Bangladesh was a good answer.
It was the number one answer, in fact.
Is what?
That's how good it was. It got gold. Yeah. It got gold on my answer list.
What did...
So, all right, I guess the thing to do is to call back later on in the show when
okay.
We have many more questions there.
Excellent. Great idea.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So, I have a maybe answer for the Olympics, the no medals. And it strikes me that probably South America and Africa are probably... Not that I know which countries exactly, but I think I did read Madagascar as one. Is Madagascar still no medals?
Quite possibly, but not among the three most populous.
Oh, populous. Populous, populous.
I have a question. Are either the two remaining, let's say, relatively new nations, like they've been, become nations in the last 50 years?
No.
And have participated not that much?
No. They have not become new nations, no.
Okay.
Oh. All right. So we have lines open right now, if you'd like to give us a call. I know the show is just beyond exciting right this morning. But we have lines open, and you can help make it more exciting. And those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I should say we have a couple of emails here. Danny is wondering if the answers to Shakespeare he's wondering King John or Troilus?
No to King John, but Troilus has the fifth fewest lines of 537. Very good. But King John has more.
Very, very good, Danny. Okay.
Does Troilus lead us to one of our female answers?
It does.
Okay. And who would that well, be? Then I will lead that. I'll leave that out to the audience then to call in with that.
Good teamwork.
Yeah.
So think Troilus and then go to the next step.
All right. And Olympic losers, Chris is wondering for Egypt.
No, correct. Egypt has won some medals. Yeah. Yeah, and not so much losers so much as just not medal winning. So
That's a good way to put it.
That's a politically correct way to do it, isn't it? Yes.
Oh, and also correct.
They're not losers. Just, they just haven't.
They made it to the Olympics. It's the doing best way better than I am.
They're the best athletes in the world.
All right. So how populous are these countries that are you're thinking of?
Right? They are... they are in the top 50 for population. They're well in the top 50. They're so far in the top 50. They're in the top 30 for population. So
that's big.
Yeah.
So Africa then, because that's where you would get countries with that big a population. All right. Okay. I got to think. How about Libya?
No, nope.
I don't know what the population of Libya is. Probably not that high, actually. Okay. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show, in spite of all odds. And our panels today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW. Your local public radio station. Just to remind you again, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And I believe we have lines open right now, so it is a good time to call. We would love to talk to you. So, okay, let me give you a couple questions here. What is the only feature film that deals with a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics? And the word Olympics is in the title of the film. What is the only feature film about a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics? And Olympics is in the title of the film. So. And
is it fairly recent?
As in within a millennium? Yes.
Yes. I was thinking since 1980.
No, not since 1980. Before 1980.
Okay.
So once more, what is the only feature film about a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics? And the word Olympics is in the title of the film. I've seen the film. It's quite decent. Second question, what four countries, this is a tough question, but it's an interesting question. What four countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics? In other words, you know, their home countries. What four home countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics? And I will tell you that the number one person or number one country on that list pays $745,000 for a gold medal.
Now, maybe I'm naive. Does every country pay everybody who's won a medal?
No, every country does not do that.
So it's country by country.
The United States does.
Really?
We're way down the list in terms of the amount. But I think we're like 20,000 or something. But yes, there are countries that pay a great deal of money to their athletes that win gold medals. So what four countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics?
I'm going to go, and Kara, I'll need your help. I'm going to think Middle East rich, really rich country. So I'm going to start with Saudi Arabia.
You know, there are no Middle Eastern countries on this list.
Oh, my.
Of the four.
Yeah, I would think they'd want publicity, and they have plenty of money, so none of them. Okay. So, Kara, I'll give you all the rest of the countries in the world.
Okay.
The top, they're all in the Asia, the Greater Asia, Middle East, Greater, that area, more or less, of the world.
Well, I want to guess Japan, and this is not dissuading me from doing so. So Japan.
No, not Japan.
Okay.
No. So once more, what four countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics?
How about North Korea?
No, I think just the privilege of being outside North Korea is enough.
How about Macau?
Well, Macau's not a separate country.
That's right. Right.
You're in the ballpark for something.
And Hong Kong doesn't compete separately, right?
No, Hong Kong does pay. Hong Kong is not one of the four countries because it's not a country. But Hong Kong individually does pay athletes from Hong Kong who do win.
Yeah.
But they're not in the top four.
They're not a country. So
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay.
So just once more, what is the only detective film, what is the only feature film about a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics? Olympics is in the title of the film. And what four countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics? And I should say that the one that pays the most does pay $745,000 for one gold medal. And that is the equivalent, I believe, the way I read it is $745,000 is the equivalent of $1 million in their currency. I'll give you one more question here. What is the longest river in the United States with a president's first name?
With a president's first name?
Yeah. Okay. As the name of the river. There is no Barack River, you're saying. What is the longest river in the United States with a president's first name? And where is the river, if you get it?
And is the river actually named after the president's first name, or is it just coincidence?
I don't think it's named after the president.
Okay. The Ulysses River. Okay. Don't know.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So, let us see. Only about 6% of the whole matter in the universe is what makes us, makes everything. Most of the matter in the universe is dark matter and made out of what we call wimps and mashos. Leave it to the audience. I think it is just too technical. So I have a very nicer question very quickly after that. Who is Dom Perignon? I love champagne. Who is Dom Perignon?
He was a monk.
Was, you know, very expensive champagne named after him. Yeah. Who is he?
He was a monk.
Who was a monk? Who was a French monk who lived in the 17th century France. And it is great champagne. Everybody buy it. You have a chance. It is beautiful. Okay. Let's now go to very quickly to Earth's evil twin. Of course, with all of this heat after heat after heat. And the sad thing, as the heat continue, it gets exponential. The hotter it gets, the much hotter it gets. So I'm not really very optimistic about the future of this planet. All right. So what is the planet that's called Earth's evil twin?
Venus.
Venus it is. What is the average temperature in Venus?
250 degrees.
900 degrees.
Close. Ooh, not going
there. That was a brave guess.
How about the pressure? How much more pressure than Earth? You know, we have one atmosphere in Earth. How much more? I will tell you. Yeah, it's technical stuff, but it's good for you to know, because I have advice after that. 100 times. So if you put your car in the Venus surface, it will be flat 10 in seconds, as it happened to the Russian spacecraft, which is in the 1970s, and it lasted only about 2 seconds. All right. What is the most active gases that cause global warming on Earth? Everybody knows carbon dioxide. What is the other one?
Methane.
All right. How much more methane effective in global warming than carbon dioxide? How many times? I'll give you 10, 50, or 90. times 10, 50 times, or 90 times as much.
I'll go with 90, and Laura's going with 50.
90. All right. There are natural causes produces methane gas, but human have been very big factor now. What is the most largest sources for methane gas created by humans? What do you call it?
I thought it was farm animal.
Animal farms. You're right. Animal farms. Animal farms. It is awful. It is not only that, the mistreatment and the butchery, they treat these poor animals, you know, they put like many chicken in about a room size space, or 10,000 cows in about, you know, whatever. All right. So which animal produces most of the methane? Which animal?
Cow, right? The cow.
Cow.
Bovine.
Right. And by the way, cow, yeah, cows, you do produce methane gas. It's not from what you think of it. They produce it from their mouths, because the way their stomach work, it work by, it comes from their mouths, not from the other end. All right, very quick question. The Mongol Empire was the largest empire pretty much until the British, but the British were not the same. The Mongol Empire expanded all the way from China to Poland, and they were famous for doing one thing. What was it?
Killing or mating with the local women.
Killing, yes. Killing all men, but they never killed women or children. Never did, which is what we don't see now in Gaza or Ukraine, sadly. All right, but what... all right, well, let's see. My thoughts...
No, that's fine. That's good. You
okay,
covered,
just the last question. Which country destroyed the Mongol Empire? What country? That's
Egypt.
The answer. Give me the answer.
Egypt.
Egypt. Okay, please, everybody, answer my question about Farley, last question. It was very nice. Alan Farley was a great KLAW communicator. He was very good. But the last interview was X-rated. Does anybody remember what it's about? Please call call the show and let them know. Thank you. Always a great show. Thank you very much.
Right. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye. That takes me back to my, you know, sixth grade class, of the teacher would say this and this and this and this. She'd wait for the answers. I will give you the answer. Anyway. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And it's all uphill, you know. So feel free to give us a call. It's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. You can ask us a question about almost anything, or try to answer one of the ones we have thrown out to you earlier. And since we've been so involved in each call, why don't we repeat any questions that have not been answered yet? And Kira, we'll start with you.
I'm just looking for the three most populous countries that have not yet won an Olympic medal. Populous. And so far we have Bangladesh, looking for two more.
I'm looking for the title characters of Shakespeare's plays that have the fewest lines. I'm looking for six of them. We have Julius Caesar and we have Troilus, and a hint that something to do with Troilus, a female companion, is one of the others.
Can all right, Cressida. I said it.
Yeah, so Troilus and Cressida. Cressida has 300 lines. Troilus has about 600, so the man gets twice as many. No big surprise there. So we're looking for four more.
Does all King right. Lear have that many lines in King Lear?
He does. Okay. King Lear is up there. I think he's in the top five or so. I have it here someplace.
Okay. I remember a lot of the daughter whose name has just escaped me.
Goneril and Reagan.
Reagan.
Oh, not
oh, Reagan and
yeah.
The
King
other one.
King Lear has the seventh most lines.
Right.
He has nearly 900, so he way plenty.
Okay.
Much tougher part.
All right. What is the longest river in the United States with a president's first name? Longest river in the United States with a president's first name. And there is no Donald River. Not yet, anyway. What is the only feature film about a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics? The word Olympics is in the title of the film. What four countries will pay the most to athletes winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics? This is pretty common practice of countries paying a bounty on a gold medal. So what four countries will pay the most to contestants winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics? I will say that the country that is number one on the list does pay $745,000 for a single gold medal.
This is counterintuitive, but how about China?
You know, China does not pay that much.
I felt it would be wrong to do it, but I also felt they might do it, given their sometimes different values expressed in different ways. So no China.
I will say that these are all fairly wealthy countries.
Yeah. Joanne is guessing Malaysia.
Not Malaysia. Malaysia. But Joanne is in the general ballpark area. So
now Singapore. Joanne is guessing Singapore.
Singapore. Singapore is number one. Very good,
Joanne. There we go.
Singapore is number one. They're the ones that pay the $745,000 for a single gold medal. Yes.
Oof. I'm going to start working out.
all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert sans Karen today in Vernal Heights.
Hi, good to hear
you. And first wondering whether, actually, let me turn off my radio. Wondering whether Cleopatra might be one of the title characters with the fewest lines.
It's a great guess, and she's just off the list. So no Cleopatra, no Bell, but she's close. She's about eighth.
How about Mark Antony?
Mark Antony is, Mark Antony has a lot of lines, so not him.
Okay.
And he's in plays. He's in both Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra. But he's pretty high. Yeah.
So I have a question for you all. This is a short list, and the question is, what do these words all have in common? And this is... in terms of our modern age, practically prehistoric. So the words are joke, poem, confession, prayer, song, carol, as in Christmas carol, and story.
So joke, poem, what was the third
confession,
one?
Confession. Prayer, song, carol, another form of song, and story. And these, if you need a hint, I'll start giving you hints.
Start giving me hints.
If I add in the word ride, would that help? Ride like riding a bicycle.
Perhaps the normal man, but not me. Joke, poem, confession, prayer, song, carol, story.
Do they all appear in the same work?
No. They're all preceded by two words that are hyphenated.
Okay.
Oh, so are
death,
these...
But no.
Are these all titles of a particular... of a famous work in some sense?
Not remotely famous.
Okay.
These were part of an activity that one could do in pre-internet times. And may still be able to do, for all I know.
Pre-internet times. Hard to remember.
Did you say they're two-word?
They're preceded by two words that are joined by a hyphen.
Preceded.
And ride words. Should be the giveaway.
Ride was a more common usage than most of the others.
Two words with a hyphen. The hyphen comes after the two words? Or the two words continue?
There's a word, a hyphen, a word, and another hyphen, followed by one of the words I gave you.
Okay. A word, a hyphen, a word, another hyphen. Okay.
That's
silent. I'd like to tell you.
Huh.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yes, I would.
Hear
about
it. So the words that preceded these were dial A, so you used to be able to call a number and dial a joke. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or dial a prayer, or dial a confession, and the confession one actually collected confessions rather than gave them out.
Oh, I was going to say, that'd be great. That'd be a very popular number if people would confess to you.
Although dial a confession, I think that they did collect them and make them available anonymously. But
that would have been a big thing.
Big seller.
Yeah. They Might Be Giant still does dial a song. They did
really?
It for years. I think they still do. Yeah. I think they still have that number.
So you dial it and you'd hear a They Might Be Giant song?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
Dial a prayer, dial a song, dial a carol.
Right. Dial a story, dial a ride. So that would get
dial
you
a ride back. Makes, yeah, that's very good.
All right.
Very nice.
Thanks, all.
Thank you. You exposed how out of touch we are.
how technologically Bye-bye. Hip we are.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Good question. Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. If you want to further embarrass us, you're welcome to do that. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. I should say, Deborah is wondering if the title character Macbeth is on your list.
He's not in the lowest numbers. No, he's somewhere in the middle.
All right. Cynthia is wondering if Brunei is on the list of that pays the most for, I guess that makes sense because it's Sultanate and they have a lot of money. But no, Brunei is not one of the ones that pays the most anyway. Tristan is wondering if Taiwan is one of the ones that pays the most for metal. It is not. And Peter wished me happy birthday. Oh, that's very sweet. It's actually not for 2 days, but it's thank you. August 5th. And Michael actually had the right answer for it's Singapore. Very good. He got the top paying Olympics country for that pays the most for metal. Good for you. Good job. I'll give you a bell for that. Okay. And, gosh, don't worry, I think it's your turn.
No, I think Kira is here, right?
All right, Kira, it's your turn. Sorry.
All right. There was at some point a Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor that was a caramel and cashew Brazil nut flavored ice cream with chocolate, hazelnut fudge swirl, and roasted almonds. This flavor doesn't exist anymore. It existed from 1993 to 2001. Ben and Jerry's has a flavor graveyard where they write epitaphs for their former flavors. And this flavor is in the graveyard with a tombstone that reads, "Just so there's no confusion, we thought we ought to warn ya. Blank isn't dead. He lives in California." What I want to know is, what is the name of this flavor?
So this is a dead flavor.
The dead flavor.
It's
buried in the Ben and Jerry's flavor graveyard with this poem, "Just so there's no confusion, we thought we ought to warn ya. Blank isn't dead. He lives in California."
So is this flavor, sometimes the flavors are named after a celebrity like Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert. Is this one of them?
It is.
Okay. And is, okay. So and, Dana, you're an ice cream guy. Your birthday's coming
up. No, not as much as, not Ben and Jerry's really.
Is this person in real life dead?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wow. So they had a ice cream name for them.
Spot on about how this person is not dead. He lives in California.
Yeah. And it's a real person, not a fictional character, correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And while you think about that, I will also point out that the U.S. Army rules dictate that there are only 3 knots that may be used for neckties included in dress uniforms. What are these knots?
These are unrelated questions.
Completely unrelated.
I'm going to say one has to be the Windsor knot.
The Windsor knot is one of the 3.
Right.
Oh, good job. Well,
All right, the flavor thing.
So, no, I don't know his. They had that one after Wavy Gravy.
Yes. Ooh. Wavy Gravy isn't dead. He lives in California. That's the correct answer.
Oh, all right. But I actually thought he was, I'm sorry to say this, I thought he was dead.
No, maybe so I'm sure about
that. Hugh Romney, is that his real name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And why did they retire his flavor? Do they give a reason?
Not that they my understanding is it stopped selling.
Yeah. Well, that would be it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Okay. Well, you want to give us another one?
Well, I gave you the tie question.
The necktie.
Yes, I'll give you one more. Here we go. Which former member, and this is a San Francisco related question, which former member of the Coquettes had a number one hit on the Billboard Dance Club Songs list? Former member of the Coquettes who had a number one Billboard hit on the Billboard Dance Club Songs list.
Is this person still around?
I don't believe so.
Was this Sylvester?
Yeah.
It was. You Made Me Feel Mighty Real and Dance Disco Heat.
There we go.
Okay. All right.
Way to go, Sylvester.
All right. Can I make a guess on your countries? I keep thinking of big countries, but not countries that are very populous. So I will say the Congo. Any of the Congos?
All right. Give me a Congo and I'll let you know.
Is it the Democratic Republic of the Congo? The Democratic Republic of the Congo.
That is number two. It is the 16th most populous country in the world and number two on my list.
All right. Good. Number one.
Ooh.
All right. That's done. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. It's Stefan from Noe Valley.
Hi, Stefan.
Here, I'm wondering if Albania is on the list of countries that never won.
Probably on the list of countries that have never won, but not the three most populous.
Got it. Okay. I have something to ask you about. I have seven sports, names of sports that are either odd sports or odd names of sports. These are activities that people sometimes compete in as well, or else they're just recreational. So the seven are, I'm wondering if you can define them, or at least describe what they are in general terms. So there's orienteering.
Paragliding.
Orienteering.
Yeah. Orienteering.
Orienteering, paragliding, and parasailing, potholing.
What was that one again?
Rambling. Potholing. Like a pothole. Potholing, rambling, rounders, and zorbing.
Yes, I can do a few of these.
Go ahead.
Zorbing is when you get into the giant hamster ball and go running around.
Correct.
Rounders is the sort of original version of baseball. It's the British sport. And Lori's nodding, so I think I stole that from him, so sorry.
You did, but that was good. I'm glad you know that.
All right. Let's see. Well, paragliding and parasailing are when you put on basically a parachute and then get towed by a boat.
Yeah, like water skiing.
Well, that's different. It's kite surfing. That's what parasailing is, I think.
So the difference between paragliding and sailing? What's the difference?
Is it what they're holding on to? You know, the one feels like a hang glider and one smaller? It's something like that.
Right. There's another difference, too, in how they're propelled.
Well, one is being towed. You're being towed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Paragliding, you are not being towed. Paragliding, you just jump off a cliff
That's right.
Yeah. And then parasailing is the one where you're being towed by a boat.
Right, and you have a parachute, basically, parasail.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. I'm mad at myself because I know orienteering, and I can't fully...
Isn't it doing kind of extreme sports where you have a map, and you're trying to find your way on the map to certain places and up and down mountains and forests? Is that it?
Right. You navigate through, like, an unfamiliar terrain just with map and compass, and you reach certain checkpoints in the shortest possible time. That's orienteering.
Yeah.
No idea about the other two. Potholing, and I didn't actually hear the fourth one on your list. It was like rambling or something?
Yes, that's
is
correct.
Rambling just, rambling. Isn't that just walking around? Or is there an actual sport attached to that?
That's correct. Rambling is just a leisurely walk.
Yeah. I think I know what pothole, but I never hear it called this, but I hear it called something else. But is potholing going, cave, something to do with caves?
It does. Yes. Climbing, crawling, sometimes diving in underground ways to get through. Yeah.
So like spelunking?
Yeah. Except that's, I guess it's not spelunking. You're just climbing into the caves rather than lowering yourself down. Maybe. I mean, I don't know for sure. But
exploring, yeah. Exploring cave systems. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. So you got them all.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Devin. That's a good question.
Shocking.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. It's quite an eclectic day today. And but feel free to give us a call. Two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I think any time now, Peter will be calling, asking us to repeat every question. So, Laura, you go ahead.
All right. I think we have time for this political question. J.D. Vance, without any comment about him, is 39 years old and will be 40 if he gets elected. No comment on that. Who are the six youngest vice presidents who were elected to the vice presidency? That's the question.
Well, the youngest is John Breckinridge of Kentucky, who was 36 at the time. He was elected. He was Buchanan's vice president.
Ooh.
Well, uh-oh.
Give yourself a bell.
On the list, huh? Okay.
Give yourself a bell. That's interesting. Okay. Keep going then. I knew you would know these. I'll give you one or two more.
I believe Al Gore was 40 or right around there.
Al Gore was 44 years. Well, let's say he was 45, and he is sixth on the list. Very good.
What about Dan Quayle?
Yeah.
Dan Quayle was 44. Was let's see. Dan Quayle was 41 years old. Okay. The second youngest. Yeah. Who was the youngest? Well, no, I didn't know Breckinridge, so I apologize for that. So I have somebody between Breckinridge and Quayle.
And Theodore Roosevelt, but I think 40 or 41 when he became vice president.
It has on my list 42 years with McKinley. Okay. We're still looking for one who is younger than Quayle. A year younger than Quayle.
Is this... how about Nixon?
Yeah, it's Nixon. Nixon was 40 years and 11 days in 1952 when he won with Ike. Okay?
Okay.
Two more.
All right, leave it out.
Okay, and the two more, just as a hint, because I'm looking at the time, are 19th century. So we have, just to repeat, we have Breckinridge, Nixon, Quayle, Teddy Roosevelt, and Al Gore were all in their 40s. Breckinridge was in his 30s. And then we're looking for two more, both 42 years old, both 19th century. Very good.
So... were any of them very early?
They're 19th century.
Aaron Burr, maybe?
He didn't make my list of being under 45 years old.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it us? Oh, my goodness.
It is you.
It's Danny and Sandra. And all
the Hi, Danny. Andre.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought there were more people ahead of us. Alrighty. Well, I don't think we have any smart answers for any of your questions, but
I don't have anything personally.
That's my department, my friend.
No.
We accept dumb answers all the time from us. Yeah. Not from the callers.
I've got one quick little thing that I noticed recently, and I was binging Perry Mason, and
the original
Perry Mason. So I've got this a question about the very last episode of the original Perry Mason in 1966. So there were they went out with a total class act. So what I'm asking is what did they do in the last episode that was unique? I think in all of old TV. And what person was featured on screen who had never before or after had an IMDb credit?
So there's something about that last episode that they did. And in addition to that, there's somebody who only has one IMDb credit, and it's for being on the last episode, correct?
One IMDb on-screen credit, yes.
Oh, right.
One credit.
Is credit person a real-life detective in any way or involved in mysteries or law enforcement?
I'll say involved in mysteries. Oh, absolutely involved in mysteries. I'll give you a hint about the class act business.
They knew
it was their last show. Gail Patrick, who parenthetically was also Carol Lombard's older sister in My Man Godfrey, she was the executive producer of all 271 episodes, and she appeared in a bar scene in the last episode in a non-speaking role.
Okay.
But that's not the answer you want, is it? Or is it?
Well, that's part of the answer.
Oh, part of the answer.
Well, okay, I'll give you that part because I just think it's so cute. And if you don't know it, you can't get it. What they did was they had every single person who was involved in producing the show, the crew, the office staff, everybody got screen time. And either they were questioned by the police or they were in the bar scene toward the end of the episode. And some of them were actually interviewed and were asked their names and jobs in their interview. So every single person involved in the show got screen time.
That is cool. That's great.
Which is totally cool. But who, in addition to that, got screen time and was never before or again on the screen?
Was this an author?
Yep.
Oh, Earl Stanley Garner.
Earl Stanley Garner played the judge.
Oh, that's great.
I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I would have thought he would have had more credits. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you later.
Good question. Bye-bye. Have a great week. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Two numbers to join us. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Ernie is wondering if the longest river with the first name of a president is the James River. That is correct, Ernie. That is correct. James River. Although there is more than one James River in the United States, it should be pointed out. Probably the historically most famous one is in Virginia, but that's actually not the one I was looking for. The one I'm looking for is in North and South Dakota. So that is also the James River. It's also known as the Jim River in a local vernacular. So, yes. So interesting. I'm glad you got that, Ernie. And let's see. I don't know if we have time to put out another question, but
I'll ask if Juliet is our other female Shakespeare character.
She is. With 542 lines, Juliet is the other woman, so we're looking for three more men who don't have many lines.
All right, and I will ask if the most populous countries that have not won a medal in the Olympics, Are any countries in South America on that list?
Nope.
All right. Well, that kills that. No countries. Can you give us an idea what the missing country is? I think there was only one left, right?
There is. It's in Asia.
Asia. It's not one of the stands, is it?
Nope. Not a stand.
All right. Okay.
And it has a big population, so we're looking big, right?
Yes.
Is it a former Soviet Union state?
It is not.
Okay.
Is it a former French colony?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. You're not sure?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe.
All right.
It's a maybe.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
My Asian history is subpar.
Is it an island country?
No.
All right. All right, this is getting me nowhere. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon and morning, folks. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Hey. Hi, good.
Good morning.
Hey. All right. How about, all right, but that country is still mulling over. How about something like Vietnam?
No, but you're geographically fairly close.
Myanmar?
Myanmar is it. Oh. Which is why I a little bit paused with Lori's question about a new country, because it is a renamed country.
Yeah.
But not new.
But the same one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So nice job.
Thank you. Dana, your question about the film, is it Miss Marple's Olympic Murder Mystery?
No. Okay. That's an interesting concoction, but no, it's not that.
Yeah. But on the other hand, countries that give whopping stipends for medal winners, how about something like Monaco?
No, not Monaco.
Or Liechtenstein?
Not Liechtenstein.
Luxembourg?
No.
Keep going.
No Never European know. Countries. No European country.
If
no
it European helps, countries. If it helps, Sparky, he said earlier that it was Asia. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I'm all stumped on that. But at least I got Myanmar on that. Okay.
We did.
We'll see you, Dana, later on the tournament.
All right. You bet.
Sort of. All right. We're all done. Right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, I guess we better start cleaning up here. So, Kira, start with you.
All right. U.S. Army rules dictate that only 3 knots may be used for neckties and dress uniforms. Lori got Windsor. The other two are the half Windsor and the four in hand, or schoolboy simple, or schoolboy or simple knot, whatever you want to call it. That's all I have.
All right. Lori.
Ah, the youngest vice presidents who we did not mention were John C. Calhoun, who was John Quincy Adams' president, 42 years old, and also 42 was Daniel Tompkins, James Monroe's president, early part of the 19th century. And my other question was about title characters with the fewest lines. The ones we were missing are Cymbeline, 291, Richard II, and this surprised me, Romeo is next on the list, joining Juliet with Troilus and Cressida, and that's what I have. Very good.
So that's, I guess what I meant was Richard II when I said Edward II, but
that
I
might have been
credit for that.
No.
Okay.
Is one of your countries, Dana, is it Indonesia?
It is Indonesia. You're right. You're right. Good job on
that. How much do they pay?
They pay, I'll go down the whole list for you.
Okay.
The longest river in the United States with a president's first name is indeed the James River, and that is in North and South Dakota. The only feature film about that features a murder mystery taking place at the Olympics, the modern Olympics, and Olympics is in the title of the film. That is Charlie Chan at the Olympics, 1937. It's a neat little film. Charlie Chan at the Olympics. And an interesting sidelight to this is the number one son, Key Luke, played by Key Luke, he wins gold in the 100-meter swim. He comes in first in the 100-meter swim. So, interesting. And the four countries that pay the most to contestants for winning a gold medal at the Paris Olympics, Singapore, $745,000, Israel, $271,000, Indonesia, $300,000, and Kazakhstan, $250,000. So there you go. And I think that's it. Thanks to our panels today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College, although he's not teaching right now, he's in Ashland. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate it very much. And we do hope you'll make time for us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.